slammed the wagon to gear and tried to reverse out of the enclosed compound. Somehow, he, Mads, Mildred, and Jack had managed to gather all the Nagasaki Raiders together, although the two who had been hit looked as though they might not make it. The sides of the wagon were pitted with the scars of gunfire, and the glass had been shot out in the brief firefight. All around, the convoy crew was coming up from behind their cover to try to get a better shot at the wag. They were all pretty lousy shots, and Ryan was thankful for that. The Duma Sec Force was unwilling to injure any of the trading crew, and that meant that they were unable to deploy the heavy-duty Grenzen blasters that would otherwise have brought the wag to a halt. Straining every muscle in his arms and shoulders as he wrestled with the wag steering, Ryan drove it backward and put it into a skid, bringing it around to face the still-open entrance to the park. Not that it mattered. He would have tried to drive straight through it even if it were closed. Ryan kept his foot down. Two Duma fighters were in his path. Ryan wrestled with the wheel as the impact of the two bodies caused the steering to lurch. He headed back toward the sec posts that marked the fenced perimeter of Duma. This wasn't over yet. Ryan headed toward the sec post. The blacktop was barred and the surrounding area was fenced in. The only forces at the post were the sec men manning it. If they could get past the sec post, they could lose themselves in the dark night of the wastelands.
Fire on these fuckers as we get near and pass. Don't let them get a clean shot.
Jack, Mildred, and Max began to fire steadily at the sec post, joined by a few of the Nagasaki dwellers who had begun to recover their nerve. Fire from the sec men at the post peppered the wag and the road around. Ryan's wag ate up the distance between the villain and the sec post. The covering fire drove the sec men deep into the recessed post.
Friends!
Jack took a grenade and handed another to Mildred, who was covering the other side of the wag. They pulled the pins and lobbed the grenades from the shot-out windows so that they landed near the sec dugouts. The barrier between the posts was a long spiked metal bar at windshield height to the wag. With a firm grip on the wheel, Ryan drove into it.
Everybody duck!
The wag hit the barrier with a shuddering jolt, the wheels veering to the left as the hinged end of the barrier gave with more resistance than the freestanding side. Ryan wrestled with the steering, keeping the wag on the blacktop. The metal bar fell onto the road, pushed off to one side. Ryan kept the wag going straight down the blacktop, killing the lights and trusting his own senses. He didn't want the taillights to be seen.
Now what the fuck was all that back there?
Anything behind us?
No.
Quiet.
Like the grave. Doesn't look like they've got it together to follow us.
Let's get the hell back to Nagasaki as quick as we can. There's gonna be hell to pay for this.
Hammock came upon Esquivel and Ollie, who were leaning over the unconscious JB.
What the fuck happened to JB?
I don't know, boss. I don't know. I figure we should get him out of here.
Esquivel gestured for Ollie to help lift JB. Hammock had other more pressing concerns. With the wag gone from the park, the sec team was beginning to blame the convoy crew for the fiasco, and fights were breaking out. Hammock knew that his first task was to quell the disturbance before any of the convoy crew were killed. Only then could he think about explaining what went wrong to Xander. Esquivel and Ollie took hold of JB and carried him back out of the wag park and through the streets to the armory. As they did, Ella May appeared from the crowd.
How bad is it?
Hell, he ain't hit. I was gonna fire on one of the Outlanders, then he yelled at me, hit me, and passed out.
Ella May gave him a questioning look, and Esquivel shrugged.
Don't ask me, babe. There's some really weird shit going down, and I figure he'll tell us when he comes around. Thing now is to get him out of harm's way, because that was one big fuck-up, and there's gonna be a whole lot of shit flying around.
Rarely had Nagasaki seen such activity. The people were so convinced that their chief's master plan would bring them food and Jack that they had set to with a vengeance, clearing out old buildings and cleaning them. This was far from easy, as the shantytown was encrusted in generations of filth. Christy and Doc were set to work with the others, despite the still fragile nature of Doc's health as his wounds healed. Things didn't really sour until one of the taller, facially deformed dwellers came running into the center of the ville.
Toys gone from the barn!
Christy and Doc already knew what he had discovered, but the last surviving captive in the barn had been set free. And from the way that the Ville dwellers were eyeing them, it was obvious that they thought the Outlanders had something to do with it.
I fear, my dear, that this could get a little difficult.
It was the Outlanders!
Get him!
Before Christie or Doc had a chance to make a serious move toward defending themselves, they were overwhelmed by the massive inbreds, who wrestled them to the ground. Hands and fingers gouged and poked, and for every hand they fought off, others pulled at them. They were stripped of their weapons, and their hands and feet were trussed.
Kill the fuckers!
No! Take them to the barn! Wait until the chief come back, and then we can have some fun with all the fuckers in one go!
The pale light of early morning had begun to spread tentatively across the wastelands as Ryan drove the wagon to the hollow that sheltered the shantytown of Nagasaki. The wagon was almost out of fuel. The two wounded Nagasaki dwellers had died, and Buckley was depressed. The wag drifted the last few hundred yards into the center of the ville. The Nagasaki dwellers clustered around the wag.
Judging from the looks on these people's faces and the fact that Christie and Doc are nowhere to be seen, I got a bad feeling about this.
Before Ryan had a chance to move, the door was wrenched open and hands reached in for him, pulling at him, not giving him the chance to reach for his weapons. He was hauled out into a mass of humanity. In the back of the wag, Mildred and Jack were subjected to the same thing. Buckley hauled himself out of the wag, suddenly galvanized by what was happening.
Whoa! God damn it! Whoa there! I know y'all unhappy. We come back with nothing, but y'all can't just blame...
Why you come back with nothing?
'Cause they was ready for us. Now, I don't know how. We only got out 'cause of Ryan's way with the wag.
'Cause ain't no use coming. One eye there and his fuckers emptied the barn.
What? What do y'all say? No. Let the fuckers go. But take their blasters and blades first.
Guns were pulled from holsters. Ryan's panga was unsheathed. And Jack's vest was removed.
Y'all let the prisoner go. And he done told the cold-hearted fuckers in Duma to be ready for us.
I released him, but he couldn't have let the Sekhmen in Duma know. He went in a different direction, and he was going off to take the last train west.
Buckley spat in Ryan's face.
You son of a...
Ryan lunged for the chief, but the butt of an old Lee Enfield rifle caught him in the kidney. Ryan dropped to his knees. Buckley took the opportunity to swing his boot so that it caught Ryan in the chest.
So, you thought you'd spoil our fun by letting our prisoner go, did you? And you get us in an ambush, and we got two people dead, and no Jack, no supplies at the end of it. You think we're gonna let that go? Huh? Fuck no! But I'm a fair man now. Y'all know that. We have a little trial for you, and then you get punished. God damn, we make you suffer. Even we ain't got no food, at least we can have ourselves some fun with y'all. And afterwards, well, who the fuck knows, Ryan boy? Maybe y'all gonna be real tasty, too. I mean, we gotta eat something, right? Now, where the fuck's the red girl and the old man?
They's already in the barn. We put them there as soon as we realized what happened.
Good. Barn's the right place for them. Put these fuckers in there, and we'll deal with them after we dealt with our dead. Let those fuckers think about what's gonna happen to them. Now, get them out of my sight!
Oh, dude, where do you think you're going?
It's all right. Take it easy now.
JB dragged himself out of unconsciousness, forcing his eyes open. Everything was blurry, indistinct. He realized he wasn't wearing his spectacles and groped for them. One of the three figures looming over him passed them to him, and despite having to narrow his eyes against the light, everything came into focus. JB was lying on his bed in the armory, with Ollie, Esquivel, and Ella May standing over him. He was perplexed for a moment, then it all came flooding back. He'd seen Mildred, he was sure of it, and Jack.
and he stopped Ollie from putting a hole through Ryan with the Weatherbee. JB knew who they were. He knew where he had been for the past few years. He was kind of hazy, but he could even remember something to do with dogs and a cave-in. And he was aware enough to realize that Ryan had led the raid into Duma. That put JB in a quandary. Should he tell them what he knew? Or should he try to play dumb for the moment?
Dude, say something. Like, what the fuck happened out there?
Come on, JB. Something went on, and it had to do with that guy I was going to take out. You only had one eye.
Shit, I see it in your eyes. You've remembered. It's all come back to you.
Yeah, a little too quickly, I guess. But that's why I couldn't let you kill him. I couldn't let Ryan get shot.
The famous Ryan Carter turns up and he's blowing the fuck out of our people. Xander is not gonna like this.
How'd he get involved with those Mutey inbred fuckers? Why was he doing something as stupid as driving into an obvious trap?
I don't think it's that simple, Ollie. Ryan wasn't on his own. I saw friends with him, but not all of them. Two were absent.
You thinking those two are hostages? And Ryan's following orders to save their asses?
Exactly. I need to see Xander about this.
He's gonna be real mad and out for blood. He won't be happy until they're all chill, JB. Tonight won't make him look good. Word'll spread fast, and that's something he really doesn't want. I don't reckon it'll matter who they are. He'll want to go in and wipe them off the face of the desert.
But that's the point. Those inbreds may be shit fighters usually, but with Ryan and the others working with them, there's no way it'll be easy for your people, especially if Hammock fucks up again.
So what do you suggest, dude?
I don't know. Yet.
JB rose off his cot, pushed past them, and swept out of the room, intent on heading for Xander's palace. Esquivel hurried after him, and Ollie was about to follow when he noticed that Ella May was holding back.
What is it?
Did you see the look on JB's face when he talked about Carter and the others? We've lost him. No matter what happens, we've lost him. Oh, come on.
In the main section of the armory, Bud was detailing SecMen to strip and distribute weapons from the storage rooms while he kept record of what was released. He looked up as JB entered.
What the hell happened to you out there? The great JB Dix loses nerve?
Another time.
Bud turned his attention to his son, who had just entered with Ella May at his heels.
Hey, boy! Heard you did well out there before you were screwed over. Maybe this'll show you that you're the one.
Dad, this is about more than just you and me and JB. He doesn't want your job, and he doesn't want mine. He doesn't even want to be here. Neither do I. I don't have time to talk right now.
Ella May followed Ollie out of the room. She could only think of the look on JB's face when he mentioned seeing the woman Mildred. One way or another, lives were going to change. Xander strode the floor of his ornate throne room. Hammock looked to Grant for help or any indication of sympathy, but the healer and sec advisor sat at the throne's right hand, looking impassive. Grant hadn't intended to leave Hammock high and dry, but he had lasted too long under Xander and his father to step in now. Xander drew a luger from his robe and pressed it against Hammock's forehead.
Tell me why I shouldn't just do it now. Because you're a fool, my reputation will suffer. Chilling you won't save face, but it will show that I'm still strong.
Why don't we let him take a sec force out after him? Wipe them out in their own filth. See them once and for all.
And what if he fucks that one up as well?
If he does, then who's to know out there? We claim a victory. You deal with him as you see fit, and then we send out someone who can do the job. At least this gives him a chance to redeem himself.
Why should he have a chance?
Because if he succeeds, he'll know how close he came to buying the farm. He'll know how closely he walks in the shadow of being chilled. I've found that there's nothing like such knowledge to focus the mind and enable a man to fulfill his task with a maximum of diligence and efficiency.
Yeah, I like that. I like it a lot. That's a very good point. You're getting a reprieve, Hammock. Stand up. That's what I want you to do. You'll mount a raid, and we'll wipe out those ugly fuckers.
I'll get the armor right on it, sir.
I think you'll find I've already instituted a plan. regardless of what you did to Hammock, it was something that I felt would have been our next move.
I shall have to watch for the day when your next move is to dispose of me.
Suddenly, the throne room door was flung open, and J.B. strode in, followed by Esquivel.
What do you mean by bursting in without appointment or announcement?
Sorry, Chief, but he's got something kind of important.
It's okay, S. I've got my memory back.
Very interesting, I'm sure. But we're in the middle of a battle here. Now, there are things that are, to be frank, more important than...
This is important. I've remembered when I last saw Ryan Carter. In fact, I saw him only an hour or so ago.
But why would someone like Carter be involved with inbred filth like that?
I saw what I saw. My friends were working with the muties, but they weren't all there. It's true that they could have bought the farm in the same accident that landed me here, but somehow I doubt it. I figure they're being held as leverage to make Ryan, Jack, and Mildred do what these bastards want.
That's certainly feasible. But it doesn't alter the fact that we need to go after this scum and wipe them out. And if that means killing...
Wait. Before you say anything else, hear me out. Ryan and the others are only fighting for those bastards because they have to. If you attack their vill, take me along. If Ryan and the others see me, they'll join us and turn the tables on their captors.
Fine words. But this is all assuming that Carter and his people are fighting us against their will.
If they've got Doc and Christie as prisoners, then Ryan would fight for them. No other reason. And frankly, why wouldn't he? You don't mean anything to him.
True. But what do we mean to you?
Not as much as Ryan, Jack, Mildred, Doc, and Christie.
If we mean nothing to you, then I don't see how you can be trusted. Baron, we can't let this man endanger the mission. We have a point to prove.
Don't listen to Grant.
J.B. turned in surprise. Ollie was standing in the doorway, Ella May at his elbow. They had followed close behind J.B. Now Ollie had decided to step forward.
You of all people know he can't be trusted. It was your shot on the one-eyed man that he deflected.
As soon as Hammock said it, he realized what a mistake he'd made. He wasn't supposed to know about Ryan's involvement. Grant was furious, but only the slight tick at the corner of an eye on his otherwise impassive visage gave him away. Xander looked at both of them.
I think there is more to know here.
Baron, that isn't important right now. What's important is this. I believe J.B., and I figure you should. You were going to put him in charge of Duma's ordinance. If you would trust him with that, why not trust him now? What's changed?
His loyalty to old friends means he cannot be trusted.
I'm sorry, but that is wrong. He's not fighting for us or for those inbreds, but to help his fellow travelers. They're not on anyone's side except their own. Look, if J.B. goes, I'll go too. I trust him with my life, and maybe he'll have to trust me with his. He tries to stop our forces carrying out their task, then I'll tell him myself. But I know it won't come to that.
Xander looked at the young man in a new light. He hadn't considered that Bud's son was up to the task of handling the Duma armory, but he could see that the lad had unsuspected depths. Esquivel grinned. J.B. had only known the young man a few days, yet already he had drawn him out of Bud's shadow. The old armorer would be as pissed as hell when he heard about this, but that would only add to Esquivel's pleasure. J.B. watched the young man with a growing sense of respect, and even something that resembled pride.
All right. I'm gonna trust you, J.B. Not just because of what Ollie says, and not just because of what I know about you, and not just because I have to trust someone if I can't trust this idiot Hammock. You could have joined up with Carter during the firefight. You could have just looked at your position here and kept your mouth shut. But you didn't. And that counts for something. Go and prepare for battle.
Without a word or a backward glance, J.B. left the throne room.